song there. Raichi Sakamoto and David Sylvian, Forbidden Colours, taken from the soundtrack of Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence, starring the aforementioned David Bowie. That was for Helen. The Full English Breakfast Show, emergency meeting from Bradley Misson at Club Vivanova. Hi, Bradley. We've had an emergency meeting on the gala and decided we will run it from the 1st of December, from 1 p.m. on Saturday. To ensure a positive, successful, well-attended and elegant gala, and in consideration to local restrictions, we've opted for an early start at 1 p.m. The agenda won't change. We'll host our full event with a champagne aperitif, four-course gourmet menu, premium wines, Aston Martin DBX launch, live entertainment, fashion show and a charity auction. It's going to be an exceptional day out. We've committed with the Fairmont Monte Carlo to make this one of the most memorable events of the year. I'm sure everyone's desperate to get out, actually. The gala will be showcased with a personal welcome by Xavier Ruggeroni, Regional Vice President and General Manager of the Fairmont Monte Carlo. And it's all for the benefit of Chances for Children and the Animal Fund. So there'll be a 1 p.m. champagne aperitif, a professional photo call, four-course gourmet dinner, premium international wines, live entertainment, a charity auction. You can view the 2020 charity auction catalogue online at Champagne and Vodka 23 Digestif, oh dear, and carriages at 7 p.m. in the evening. Details at clubvivanova.com. That's clubvivanova.com. Colours, the theme for Feel Good Friday this week, and Sarah says, well, what, with all this lockdown, I think we better have Yellow Submarine, because it feels a bit like that. Here's the pop quiz.
Questions related to Victoria's theme for Feel Good Friday of Colours. Question number one. This song was released late in the summer of 1986 and would become a major hit, spending 2 weeks at number one on the Billboard Hot 100. It was the singer's last single to occupy the top of the US charts, and it received a Grammy Award nomination for Best Female Pop Vocal Performance.
Madonna.
No, the title was True Colours. Who was the singer?
Cyndi Lauper.
Correct. Question number two. Released on June the 30th, 1986, this song by an American female deals with her versions of love, work, dreams, as well as disappointments, and was inspired by her then-husband, Sean Penn.
Madonna.
Can you tell me the singer and the song? Madonna's correct. What was the song?
Could be True Blue then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And finally, this song was originally written and performed and recorded by American singer Neil Diamond in 1967. The lyrics are sung from the perspective of a person who finds that drinking red wine is the only way to forget his woes. Who recorded a cover version in 1983?
E.B. Fosse.
Yeah. And can you tell me which chart position did it reach when it went to number one?
Which chart position did it reach when it went to number one?
There you go, I've told you for you. Anyway,
number one.
Yes, it went to number one. It was, of course, Red Wine by UB40.
Because there was a reggae version that before, well, even though UB40's was a sort of a cod reggae version, there was an original reggae version years before that.
Okay, and that question was dedicated to Stefan Bulkin of Bulkin Estates, who I found out yesterday that doesn't like most people, corked red wine.
Well,
so
he
morning,
does.
Stefan.
Yuck. As used to be the staple of every hotel band in the world. I mean, you go to places like Romania and the hotel band would be playing red wine.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice of you to join us for a
Always
change on
a pleasure.
Friday.
Friday's amongst us. Best day of the week.
Black Friday's amongst us.
Oh, that's a good one. Black Friday's amongst us. Are you buying?
No.
Are you clicking and purchasing?
No, I'm protesting.
Driving the economy forward.
Rampant consumerism. I only buy stuff when I need it and I don't need anything.
You don't need anything.
I have everything I need.
You're a lucky man. You're a contented fellow, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. What's tier level is Cobham going into when lockdown ends then?
Tier two.
Ah, so you'll be able to go out and have a drink as long as you eat a substantial meal, which I know you really like, so
There's no issues in relation to that, but I don't think you can meet... Can you meet? I can't remember the rules now, but you can't meet in other people's houses, basically, can you?
Well, that's nothing new for you there, then, because you never get invited anyways.
That may be the case. That may well be the case.
You fell into that one, didn't you, honestly?
Come on.
Are there any good places to eat in Cobham?
Yeah, that's nice. The Old Plough is very good.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. The Ivy is nice. We've got a few bookings for the Ivy. I mean, the place will be packed, to be honest with you. So you've got to be ahead of the game. The Old Plough is very nice. They're wonderful food. And they've got heaters and they've got this whole sort of covered area outside. I mean, it's quite bizarre because actually, you know, you sort of go to these places in the lockdown measures and there's like 40 people outside and there's no one inside, basically, regardless of the weather.
So you'll be having your usual chicken in a basket and a glass of Prosecco then, will you?
Chicken in a basket. I have been drinking a lot. Last time I went to the Old Power, I drank quite a few Aperol Spritz before being kicked out at 10 o'clock.
Do you remember when you were a kid and you know, your parents used to take you out and you'd have scampi or something and think it was really exotic, and then I was so disappointed to find out it came out of a bag from the freezer.
And also in a basket. You don't see that anymore, do you?
Well, you get bread in a basket.
Well, that's nice, isn't it? But I mean, these meals in a basket, that was also exciting, wasn't it? Sounds awful,
doesn't
it?
That never particularly excited me, I have to say.
Okay.
But I was very excited about, you know, the rump steak of the Bernie Inn. That was the highlight, really.
Or the Toby Carvery.
No, no, it was a bit past my time. I'd sort of grown out of places like that by the time they came along. I should do some markets anyway.
Yeah, the rally in global risk assets lost some steam yesterday as the spreading pandemic tempered gains in Europe. Cyclical companies, including banks and energy firms that very much led the post-vaccine surge, retreated, while defensive tech shares gained as the virus toll continued to mount. Volumes, of course, were weak, with the US markets closed for Thanksgiving. Stock 600 closed flat yesterday. Rough ride for Bitcoin during the course of the trading session yesterday, down around about 13%. But just remember, global stocks on track for their best month ever, up somewhere around about 13%, although we are looking at a weaker start on the European bourses this morning. Koenig Corner FTSE down 19 points, DAX over in Frankfurt down 14 points, CAC Corner in Paris off 5 points.
You've really got it in for Bitcoin, haven't you? You know, you're just desperately trying to steer everybody towards equities.
Not desperately trying, just trying to keep people from investing huge amounts of money in the hope that the Bitcoin's going to surge and you can get out before the next sucker decides to pull their money.
Just a word about equities. I mean, a report yesterday on Reuters said that a lot of analysts think that although equities are high, that people aren't in a terrible hurry to sell them at the moment.
I don't think there are, because, yeah, valuations are high by historic standards, but in relative terms, certainly compared to other asset classes, they certainly look far more favourable. And the expectation is that we will see an economic recovery during the course of next year, given vaccine hopes, given the policy measures instigated by central bankers and by governments. And, of course, the expectation is that that growth will filter through to growing corporate earnings and, in turn, to asset appreciation over time. And that's really what investors are buying into when they look into equity markets, which are the strongest performing liquid asset class.
That was a gift for you, that question, wasn't it? An absolute gift.
Well, it was a
little
setup, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Friday, isn't it? I just thought it'd be nice
to you. Thank you very much.
Investors will be encouraged by the prospects of more stimulus from the ECB then.
Yeah, Minutes signalled the prospect of additional monetary stimulus. They highlighted the growth outlook has deteriorated due to the coronavirus restrictions, risk of a double dip recession certainly looming large, and said financial conditions for banks and smaller businesses are tightening. Demand for loans and availability of credit are both contracting. The December 10th meeting, we expect the central bank to extend its bond buying programme by around about 500 billion euros, commit to reinvestment until mid-2023. Its refinancing operations has undeniably helped liquidity and financing conditions. Expect the targeted long-term refinancing operations rate to be cut further to try and encourage greater lending to the real economy.
So have you had the Argos catalogue out at all? Had a look through, see if there's anything that tempts you?
I'm trying to work out what to get the children, to be honest with you. And that's Henry got a Nintendo Switch.
What, for he's thinking about Christmas now, are you?
Yeah, for his birthday he got that, but he hasn't really played with it. I tell you what, I like the idea of, perhaps, you know, I hope he's not listening, but I like the idea of these electronic boards, you know, where you make circuits and those types of things.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's quite a fun but educational, so I'm thinking of that for young Henry.
There used to be a game called Operation, didn't there, where you had to do that.
Operation.
And the light lit up at the end of you.
Talking about Operation.
It was
I'm
a game.
I'm talking about where you build little circuits.
Yeah,
so you've got an AM, FM radio, you've got transistors, you've got light-emitting diodes. You know, what are you talking about?
Blimey.
Operation.
It was a game, don't you remember?
Yeah, I remember what we got a pair of tweezers and you had to pull things out and it buzzed.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, light. Come on.
What about Kaplunk?
Kaplunk.
That was a good game.
Really going down memory lane. I've never seen you so sentimental. What's wrong with you?
Or Haunted House. That was a good game as well.
Cheers. I don't remember that one.
That was a good game.
No.
Oh, well, never mind. So, well, Black Friday ain't what it's cracked up to be, according to a lot of retail analysts, to say that you get better deals at other times of the year.
Yeah, I think you got to be cautious. And some of the retailers are sort of, trying to take advantage of the headline while not pricing and passing on the price discount. Some retailers saying they're not prepared to participate in it. It's always a bit of a strange affair, isn't it? Because, you know, demand is going to be strong over Christmas or as you head into the holiday season. So you'd imagine offering great discounts now simply brings forward some of those sales. I don't know if it actually boosts it. But it's still a big shopping day, particularly, of course, in the United States. It'll be seen as a test for the US consumer. Recent data has showed momentum in retail sales has been cooling. One in every $5 spent in the United States during the holiday season is expected to be spent over the course of Black Friday to Cyber Monday. But it'll be much more focused, I think, on cyber than people queuing up this time around.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 133.5. Euro dollar coming in at 119. €1.12 for your British pound this morning.
Can you order me a prawn cocktail and some garlic bread when you go?
I do like prawn cocktails, actually.
That's really nice. Retro. That's as retro as Kaplunk.
That is prawn cocktail, steak and Black Forest Gatto. Classic.
You know how to live, Bernie, honestly. Talk to you on Monday.
Have a nice weekend.
Hank Potson Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
Prime Minister Jean Castex has given details on the first phase of easing lockdown measures in France from tomorrow, Saturday, the 28th of November. Firstly, all shops and services previously considered non-essential will reopen and be allowed to stay open until 9 p.m. Driving schools will be able to resume activity and estate agents will be allowed to carry out visits. The places of worship will reopen gradually with a limit of 30 people at a time. Outdoor sporting activities such as golf, tennis and water sports will resume from Saturday, but will be limited to 3 hours and within 20 kilometres from your home. The ski resorts will be open from tomorrow, but the slopes will remain closed. The attestation will still be required as proof as to why you are circulating outside of your home and will still allow, as at present, an essential visit to assist a person in need or to carry out an essential activity with no limit on time or distance, for example, going to work. It would appear that despite confusion over what you can and can't do, the key to easing of lockdown measures is to remember that the advice is to stay at home as much as possible and to ask yourself if your reason for leaving home is essential as part of a collective attempt in the fight against COVID-19 and in support of those who on a daily basis are on the front line saving lives. The second phase of the easing of lockdown measures is planned for December the 15th. This is only if the number of new cases of COVID-19 is below 5,000 and if the number of patients in intensive care is below 3,000. Should this be the case, then from this date, cinemas, theatres and museums will reopen, the attestation will be abolished and a curfew from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. introduced. A free movement will be allowed throughout France and international travel will be allowed on the condition of a COVID-19 test 72 hours before departure and that the person meets the requirements requested concerning COVID-19 in the country that they are travelling to. As far as Christmas and New Year is concerned, it will be necessary to limit the number of guests at Christmas and New Year. During the press conference, the Prime Minister announced the creation of 20,000 student jobs and a guaranteed monthly allowance for a maximum of €484 for 1 year to young people aged between 16 to 25 who are neither in employment nor studying or in training and who are in a financially precarious situation. For seasonal event and catering extras who worked a lot last year, there'll be a guaranteed income of €900 per month until February of next year. The Minister of Labour confirmed that the aid will concern those who worked more than 60% in 2019 and who could not work enough in 2020 due to the health crisis. An additional aid from 15% to 20% of turnover will be granted from December to companies in sectors affected by the crisis, such as hotels, tourism or events, and whose turnover has fallen by at least half. John Castex added that nightclubs would be supported by this new solidarity fund. Meanwhile, the Minister of Health, Olivier Véran, affirmed his satisfaction on Thursday, saying that there was a new drop in the number of intensive care admissions. Public Health France identified 192 new admissions due to COVID-19 in 24 hours on Thursday, compared to 258 on Wednesday. While overall health data on the pandemic has shown a slight improvement, the Minister of Health recalled that efforts should not be relaxed because the second wave is not yet over. In other news, in its global restructuring, IBM is expected to cut 10,000 jobs in Europe. At a meeting on November the 20th, IBM France announced numbers which remain to be confirmed, with between 1,180 and 1,385 positions set to disappear, including between 100 and 150 in the Alt-Maritime region. Unions say that they hope the departures will be on a voluntary basis. It was back in 1962 that IBM established its headquarters in La Gourde in the Alt-Maritime. The next meeting with unions is planned for December the 8th to specify consequences of the reconstruction. France's Interior Minister has ordered the suspension of several police officers who were filmed beating up a black music producer. Footage posted by online shows the man identified only as Michel being repeatedly beaten as he tried to enter a music studio in Paris. The incident comes as concerns grow over a new French bill that would criminalise filming police. The legislation, which is being pushed by the government, has prompted protests from civil liberties groups and journalists. In a post on Twitter, the minister said that the IGPN police watchdog was investigating the alleged assault, which took place on Saturday as the man was being arrested. The French lower house of parliament has approved a law banning discrimination based on a person's accent, calling the practice a form of racism. The text adds accents to the list of causes of actionable discrimination, along with racism, sexism and discrimination against the disabled. The maximum penalty proposed in the new legislation is 3 years imprisonment and a fine of €45,000. The law was the subject of animated debate in the House, despite an overwhelming vote. Some members of Parliament denounced the fact that too many broadcasters with a strong accent get pigeonholed into reporting on rugby or reading the weather bulletin. And last month, it was Jean-Luc Mélenchon, leader of the far-left France Insoumise movement, who was caught on camera being rude to a journalist with a southern accent who asked him a question at the National Assembly. Mélenchon said, "Can someone ask me a question in French and make it a bit more understandable," addressing a group of reporters in a video clip which was widely circulated on social media. Finally, Météo France has warned of Mediterranean episodes from this evening and for Saturday in Corsica and the Pyrenees Orientales, placing both areas on an orange weather alert with heavy rain and thunderstorms forecast.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Football, good night for most of the British clubs playing in Europe last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Adi Adedoyin at the BBC Sports Centre. Tributes are being paid to Diego Maradona, who has died at the age of 60. The Argentine forward, considered to be one of the greatest of all time, suffered a heart attack at his home in Buenos Aires. The Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola gave this reaction after his side's 1-0 win against Olympiacos in the Champions League.
Well, I was a little boy with my dad, sometimes came to Barcelona to see Maradona playing football. It was incredible. Unfortunately, had a blow, a great injury, big injury. And his period was short. When I arrived to the academy, he lives to Napoli. I was not in the locker room with him, but all the people who was with him in the locker rooms expressed how his generosity, his thinking for all of them, defend the position to make a better world football. And
Pep Guardiola talking about Diego Maradona. They've done it again, sent us the same report twice. Nice. Well, I'll tell you about the Europa League myself then. Spurs continued their good run of form with a 4-0 victory over Ludogorets Razgrad in Group J. Arsenal 3-0 winners at Molde in Group B. And Leicester drew 3-all at Sporting Braga in Group G. Rangers drew 2-all with Benfica in Group D. But Celtic were beaten 4-1 at Sparta Prague in Group H. And Nice are out of the competition after losing 3-1 at home to Sparta Prague in Group C. So, in the English Premier League this weekend, tonight, Crystal Palace play Newcastle.
Well, the Eagles will be aiming to retain their spot in the top 10. And that would be their third home win of the season. I'm going to go for... I think it'll be tough. It might even be a draw, actually.
Palace. Saturday, Brighton against Liverpool.
Oh, against all odds. Liverpool.
Yep. City against Burnley, Manchester City.
Although Man City will need to bounce back, won't they? Because they lost 2-0 to Tottenham. I'll go for Man City.
Man City. Everton against Leeds.
I'll go for Everton.
Yeah, me too. West Brom against Sheffield United.
West Brom against Sheffield United. I'll go for Sheffield United.
Draw. Sunday, Southampton against Manchester United.
I'll go for the Saints.
Southampton, yeah. Chelsea against Spurs.
Chelsea.
Yep. Arsenal against Wolves.
I'll go for Arsenal.
Wolves. Leicester against Fulham on Monday.
Leicester.
And West Ham against Aston Villa on Monday night.
Aston Villa.
Don't know which Villa's going to turn up, really, do you? No, West Ham, I think, at home. Cricket. Australia playing India in the first one-day international in Sydney. Australia won the toss and decided to bat. And they're going along like a rocket. 222. That is double Nelson, but never mind. 222 for one. The only man out, David Warner for 69. Aaron Finch, 97 not out. Steve Smith, 38 not out. Later today, South Africa play England in the first T20 in Cape Town. The match, which starts at 5 p.m. French time, is being played behind closed doors because of the coronavirus pandemic. Rugby Union, the Autumn Nations Cup, continues this weekend with Wales against England at 5 p.m. tomorrow. Scotland have been awarded a 28-0 victory over Fiji, with the game in Group B called off because of a coronavirus outbreak in the Fiji camp. France play Italy in Paris at 9:10 tomorrow night in Group B. And on Sunday, Ireland play Georgia in Group A. Shaping up to be an England-France final by the looks of it. All eyes will be on the Southern Hemisphere Rugby Championship tomorrow morning, with Argentina playing New Zealand. The All Blacks have lost successive tests against Argentina and Australia, and there are growing suggestions they might have chosen the wrong coach to replace Steve Hansen. Ian Foster took over at the end of the 2019 World Cup after having served as Hansen's right-hand man for 8 years, but results have been disappointing of late. The match kicks off at 9:45 French time tomorrow morning. And there's one game in the Gallagher Premiership in England tonight. Newcastle plays Sale. And in Formula One, first practice for Sunday's Bahrain Grand Prix takes place at noon today. Second practice at 4 p.m. Qualifying at 3 p.m. tomorrow, with the race at 3:10 on Sunday. Drivers will be competing for individual pride this weekend, with both the Constructors and Drivers' Championships already wrapped up. The race is controversial, though, because of Bahrain's alleged human rights abuses. Lewis Hamilton said this morning the sport must do more to promote the issue. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Outer Sea in the VAR. The general situation is a depression, 1,000 millibars over the Balearics, with a moderate to strong southeasterly flux developing across the Mediterranean. Winds are northeasterly, force 4 to 6, locally force 7. The sea is moderate to rough, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,018 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, rain force 6 to gale, force 8 northeasterly winds, rough seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southeasterly, force 4 to 6. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,017 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, rain, force 5 to 7 southeasterly winds, moderate to rough seas, and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Not too bad today. Partially cloudy, moderate to strong easterly winds. Top temperature 16 degrees. Overnight lows 13 degrees with rain spreading across the region. Now the weekend, windy with rain tomorrow morning, clearing during the afternoon. Fine on Sunday. Highs of 14 to 16 degrees. Finally.
Oh, dairy me. Apparently children in the UK really don't know where milk comes from. A study has found that 1 in 5 primary school children do not know the origin. And researchers looked at the strange beliefs the youngsters have about where different foods such as bread, milk and chocolate originate. Of the 1,000 children involved, 21% didn't know milk came from cows, while 11% believed it came from supermarkets. Some 18% thought bread was made on a farm, and 11% said chocolate was made there too. The research revealed the lack of understanding may be compounded by the fact that 1 in 10 had never been to a farm before.
Nothing like a good education. You're up to date. The news is on the website, rivieraradio.mc.